Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
We have a special edition of Ask the CIO today. We're going to talk about how the Homeland Security Department's red team and blue teams are improving agency cybersecurity. My special guests today are Don Benak, who is the program manager for DHS's Cybersecurity Assurance Program, and Rob Karras, the program manager of the Risk Evaluation Program at DHS. DHS is using some red teaming, some blue teaming to improve federal cybersecurity. Tell me how that works. Tell me what that effort is about.
Our blue teams assess and validate agencies' implementation of technical controls, tools and technologies, and operational controls. So think people, processes, program maturity, and just validate that their capability is aligned with the requirements established by federal laws and initiatives such as CNCI and the administration's cross-agency priority goals. And our risk and vulnerability assessment teams, or our red teams, look to combine national level threat information with the agency's specific threat information and vulnerability data collected while we're on site with the agency to conduct an agency-specific risk evaluation, provide them with actionable remediation recommendations that are prioritized by risk. And we think that by identifying the capability gaps and analyzing agency threats and marrying that with identifying vulnerabilities, we can provide prioritized remediation guidance and optimize agency remediation activities and help them close capability gaps, limit their exposure, and reduce risk overall.
So you guys are looking at specific systems, or you're looking at specific networks, or a little bit of both?
A little bit of both. Right now, it's up to the agency's CISO or CIO to determine, for the red team services, what system or what group of systems are of most importance to them to look at. We have a finite number of engagements we can conduct on an annual basis, and without having a granular understanding of the agencies that the agency leadership does, it's far easier to let them select a system or network segment that they are concerned with that we can review for them and provide them a risk evaluation.
To discuss those engagements, do they come to you and say, we need help? Is it something you guys see maybe through US CERT saying, hey, CIO X, you guys are getting hit really hard. I think you need our services. How does it work?
It's a little bit of both. There are things that we're doing to try to promote the service to make the agencies aware that we're able to offer the risk evaluation service, the red teaming service. The blue teaming service is something that stems from our CNCI responsibilities to assess agencies' capabilities with respect to the TIC initiative, and it's grown a little bit over the years to encompass additional capabilities like the administration's priority goals. But for the red teaming, it's really been a word-of-mouth, an optional service that agencies can take advantage of. So part of it is letting them know that it's there, that it's available, that it's free. But also, if they report an incident to US CERT and they ask for help from US CERT, a lot of times US CERT will take the tactical mitigation approach and help them plug the hole. And then there's some follow-on activity where we can take a longer strategic view and work on remediation with the agency. So sometimes if an agency asks for help from US CERT, we're able to let them know that we have a follow-on service where we can help them evaluate their environment and a broader picture.
Let me shift to Rob for a second. Rob, when you do these red team exercises, give me a sense of what happens.
We have rules of engagement that our Office of General Counsel worked with, and we created the rules of engagement list all the services that we offer, and the services range from network mapping, network vulnerability scanning, wireless and wired, to threat identification, to social engineering, where we'll send spear phishing attacks, we can test web applications, we can test databases, and we can test various operating systems. We sit down with the agencies, they select the services which they would like. They get that signed by their CIO, CISO, and legal counsel, and then we have a scoping meeting, and we typically have the capability to be on site or do external testing for 2 weeks. We have about 5 engineers working with them, so it depends what they select. We'll pull the engineers in if they select web application testing. We'll get web app experts. If they have Oracle databases, we'll get Oracle experts to assess their systems. And then we go, typically an engagement is 2 weeks. How agencies like it, they like us to spend 1 week testing their external systems and then 1 week coming on site to test internal systems. And some agencies are so large that we have to segment the inside of what we're going to test because we're only there for a week, maybe a week and a half. We can do a few thousand systems, but we can't do hundreds of thousand systems within that time frame. And these are all unclassified systems. And we help them identify three or four critical systems and then say, okay, these systems are so big, looks like we believe we could test two of them.
Give me a sense from a very broad perspective what they're looking for. Are they looking for ports that are open, patches that aren't applied properly, or what?
First, we get connected to the network, and then we run some preliminary basic network scans to actually identify how many machines are on that network. So if we're told, you know, hey, this is your network segment that you're going to test, we run and we scope out and we identify all the hosts on that system to make sure that what they're telling us actually is what we see. Because we've had in the past examples, agencies have called us in and said, okay, this is the portion of the network we want you to test. There should be, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 machines on here. After our preliminary scans, we found that the scope has creeped up to 9,000 machines. That's our first phase one, find out how many machines are on there. And then the second phase we go through, and then we do identify open ports and services and identify and classify what types of machines are on that network. So we're scanning the network. Are they Windows machines? Are they Unix machines? Are they Linux machines? And then we categorize that. And then we also categorize it by different services. Is this mail server? Is it a DNS server? Is it just a PC or a laptop that's on somebody's desk? Is it a desktop machine? And then where do we think is the critical machine? Is there a database on there, or is there a mail application that we can actually get foothold on, and how do we get a hold on there? Is it easier to find an unpatched desktop or a laptop and use that as a pivot point and compromise that box and then go to the crown jewels? But it's a whole scenario, and so there's three phases. It's sizing and scoping, and then it's identifying ports and services, doing the vulnerability scan, identifying what vulnerabilities are on the machines, and then looking at the vulnerabilities, finding out which are we believe are the most acceptable to being exploited, and then exploiting them, and then working our way through the network.
And this is Don, just to add on, it goes beyond just vulnerability scanning identification. I mean, Rob's teams do design review. They'll do application review, and they'll look at the layers of control on a system, not just for vulnerabilities, but for weaknesses in the deployment.
Let me give you a couple of examples of different tests and some results that we found. We scanned one network. We detected over 500 public-facing web servers. The majority of those web servers the agency was unaware of. So they were working to rectify that, and they believe that the number should go from 500 down to 100 web servers. So that's just on the scanning side. When it gets a little more complex from that is when we get manual testing and human intelligence in that. One agency, we were doing a testing on a VPN solution. The VPN solution looked like it was working well. We were able to access the machines that we were supposed to access, but we noticed misconfiguration that was on the VPN hardware, which allowed us access to their entire internal network. So not only were we allowed to VPN in and access the application, which was trusted and which it was supposed to, but we had access to thousands of internal network boxes. It was just a misconfiguration on the VPN concentrator, but if somebody was just scanning and scanning and scanning, they would have never seen that. We saw that through a manual proxy, and then we were able to see that their internal network was on a different address space. We were able to map that out, scan it for vulnerabilities. The agency fixed it. You know, it was one switch on the VPN configuration, but that would have never been seen if you were just continuously scanning.
We have to take a break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. This is a special edition of Ask the CIO. We're talking about how the Homeland Security Department's red team and blue teams are improving agency cybersecurity. My special guests today are Don Banak, who is the program manager for DHS's Cybersecurity Assurance Program, and Rob Karras, the program manager for the Risk Evaluation Program at DHS.
Want the latest Department of Defense news? Listen every Wednesday for DoD Wednesday on Federal News Radio. Wednesday afternoons at 2, Federal News Radio DoD reporter Jared Serbu hosts On DoD, a discussion with senior managers about how the department meets its mission. Then stick around Wednesday afternoons at 3 when in-depth host Francis Rose brings you Pentagon Solutions, a deep dive into the issues and challenges of the defense community. All this plus our daily DoD updates at 40 past the hour, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. This is a special edition of Ask the CIO. We're talking about how the Homeland Security Department's red team and blue teams are improving the agency's cybersecurity. My special guests today are Don Banak, who's the program manager for DHS's Cybersecurity Assurance Program, and Rob Karras, the program manager of the Risk Evaluation Program at DHS. You talked a lot about the red team. The blue team is looking at something different. The blue team is actually looking at, as you said, some things related back to the CNCI, the TIC initiative. So, Don, give me a sense of what the blue team's doing.
TIC initiative was all about, and is still all about, reduction consolidation of the external connections through the approved gateways. But it was also about establishing a minimum baseline of NOC SOC security controls. So we started with the blue teams assessing those controls that were established by DHS, OMB, and there was some cross-agency participation in working groups to refine the capability statements. And our teams go in the field and look to validate that those controls are in place. It's pretty straightforward. And we look to see not only that technically the capability was in place for the control. So, you know, if the control is something like, you know, you have to have a stateful inspection firewall monitoring connections, we would look for the technical component, you know, is there a firewall present? But we'd also look for things like, you know, is there a documented policy and SOPs for managing and maintaining that firewall? Are the staff trained? So we would look for the technology, we'd look for the policies, and we'd interview the staff to make sure that all three of those things were aligned and corroborated each other. You know, if there was a backup policy, you know, and the backup policy written said you backed up their systems for 30 days, and then we interviewed staff, and the staff said, well, we back up systems for 7 days, you know, that discrepancy would raise a flag, and we'd have to dig deeper to find out what is the agency really doing. But it's really a validation of capability, and again, focused on the tools and technologies, but also the people and processes to make sure that it's not enough just to have the tool. You have to know how to use the tool, maintain the tool, and keep it running. That's expanded a little bit, or is expanding, the administration's cross-agency priority goals, their CAP goals. So now there's a bigger focus on measuring not just CNCI Initiative 1, but moving into FY13, there's going to be a focus on measuring agencies' capabilities with respect to continuous monitoring and also HSPD 12 or strong authentication. So those three priority areas, we'll be asking some additional questions to measure agencies' capability.
And now, typically, a blue team does what? Do you have a list of agencies you go through?
Right now, our pool of agencies, and the agencies most familiar with working with us, are the Trusted Internet Connection Access Provider Agency. There are 18 of them. What we're going to try to focus on moving forward is a larger set. So any agency might be asked to participate in an evaluation during a year. The practical reality is we have enough resources to assess about 26 to 30 agencies in any given federal fiscal year. So we would definitely continue doing the TICAP agencies because they have these major access points or access nodes across the government, and they have a lot of traffic and data flowing through them. So they'll remain on our priority customer list to make sure that the capabilities and controls are in place, particularly at those agencies. But then we have some leeway to do some additional sampling across the government to see how other agencies are doing. So on a year-to-year basis, we'll basically negotiate with the agencies to find out when they have availability, get them on our schedule, and work with them to get in a time that doesn't impact operations.
What comes from the blue teaming?
They get a report on what capabilities are met or not met. We don't prioritize them because what we're measuring with the blue teams are the mandates issued or the initiative requirements issued. You know, CNCI 1 is very explicit. You have to be doing the particular set of capabilities. In FISMA reporting, there are questions tailored towards measuring continuous monitoring and strong authentication. So we're really validating those questions and identifying what capabilities they've met, which ones they haven't. But we're not going to try to prioritize, you know, which one do they tackle first, because we couldn't really do a risk-based assessment there. All we know is, do they have the capability or not out of a set of known must-dos. Red teams have the advantage that they then look at the capabilities that the agency has, marry that with the vulnerability information and the threat information that they have, and say, well, you know, based on the capabilities you don't have, the vulnerabilities present on your network, and the threat information we have, here's how we would prioritize closing these holes. On the blue team side, it's simply a matter of, you know, this is the standard. You're supposed to have all of these things. These are the ones you don't have and need to address, which is, you know, surprisingly more useful than you'd think. We found over the years there's about a 33% margin of error between what we see when we're on the ground and what we get from agency self-reporting. And it's not necessarily malicious. It's just one of the things the blue teams get to do when they're on site with an agency is educate the true intent and clarify the intent of some of the capabilities and give agencies insight and perspective in, and allow them to ask questions that, they may not have had an opportunity to ask or haven't been able to get a clear answer, or we're kind of their captive audience for that week that we're on site with them too. And, you know, a lot of times, sometimes agencies are harsher on themselves than they need to be, and sometimes they just misread the intent of a question, so that there's a big margin of error from self-reported data we see to data that's actually validated by a team. So it's very important to us to understand truly where the initiatives are, what stage they're in, and if they're on track. And the teams let us do that. They let us educate the agencies a little bit if the agency needs it. And then the agency can prioritize for themselves, all right, well, I'm not doing the following X number of things. Our order for addressing them will be A through Z. But we let them determine that.
Do you have any kind of trends you can share in terms of what you're seeing across the government when it comes to TIC and some of the other initiatives?
It's actually pretty promising. It's an upward trend. Every year, technical capabilities generally are trending at an upward trajectory for capability implementation. On the flip side, for reduction consolidation, the trend is downward in a good way, that there is more consolidation occurring. So we're seeing more traffic being routed through TIC access points every time we get out. It's a little hard to do an apples-to-apples comparison each year because agencies have multiple TIC sites. So when we go out, we'll assess TIC site A 1 year and then TIC site B the next year. What tends to happen is we assess their alternate TIC sites. Well, that second TIC site may not be as mature as the first TIC site. So the agency takes an overall dip. When you look at individual TICs, not overall progress, we almost always see an upward trend at individual TICs. But sometimes, said if the front door is locked and the back door is not locked, when we get to that alternate site, it drags down the front door score. So sometimes an agency can go slightly backwards just because we get more context, more information about their environment. But overall, very promising.
Can you give me a sense of how much of a difference this red team and blue team is making for the government?
It's hard to say at the federal level what percentage. We haven't hit full stride yet. Like I said, ideally, we have capacity of about 26 to 30 of the blue team engagements every year with the funding levels that we currently have. It would be the same thing for the red team engagement. If we had a full federal fiscal year, we'd like to get out to about 26 to 30 agencies to do the detailed on-site assessments. We'd like to get all the agencies to sign up for the perimeter service so we can track vulnerabilities across the federal space. But for the red teaming, it's very much an optional service. The agencies have to opt in, essentially authorize us to connect to their networks and do the evaluations. We've had great success with the agencies we have engaged with, and some of them are fairly large, and we've made definite differences there. But there's so much work to be done and so many agencies to engage with that, you know, even at full capacity, 30 assessments a year, there's so much work to be done and so many agencies, bureaus, subcomponents, major systems that we're only scratching the surface. So we can make a difference, you know, one system at a time, but it's hard to say what's the overall impact of the entire federal government. Obviously, and the one case example where it was a public-facing web app utilized by multiple agencies, we definitively made an impact there. There was a fairly significant design flaw in the way they'd layered and architected their application. But for the other ones, it's kind of local perspective of the agency. The agency's determining that this is their most important system or the most sensitive system that they want assessed. So they have to define the value there relative to themselves.
Now, you guys have been funded. You got funding for, as you said, the first time for red teaming in 2012. What's your 2013 budget looking like right now?
Right now, it's looking fairly stable. Slightly down, but down, you know, a fraction of a percentage point. So essentially flatlined, which means we'll be able to engage again with 26 to 30 agencies, depending on the size and scope of the engagement.
We have to take a break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. This is a special edition of Ask the CIO. We're talking about how the Homeland Security Department's red team and blue teams are improving agency cybersecurity. My special guests today are Don Banak, who is the program manager for DHS's Cybersecurity Assurance Program, and Rob Karras, the program manager for the Risk Evaluation Program at DHS.
So, guess what I just heard?
You mean about the Roth TSP?
Okay, yeah. Well, also,
that bid protest on the DoD contract.
Right. But did you know
who the Senate confirmed for the administrator's job?
Well, what about
OMB's digital strategy?
Jeez, how do you know everything that's going on in the federal government?
I know because I signed up for Federal News Radio's email alerts.
Be in the know and know it first with Federal News Radio's email alerts. Sign up today at federalnewsradio.com. Search email alerts.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. This is a special edition of Ask the CIO. We're talking about how the Homeland Security Department's red team and blue teams are improving the agency's cybersecurity. My special guests today are Don Banak, who is the program manager for DHS's Cybersecurity Assurance Program, and Rob Karras, the program manager of the Risk Evaluation Program at DHS. The red team, blue team, a lot of times people hear about that and they think of hackers, right? People trying to break into your system. So you guys are taking a little bit of a twist on that kind of more typical notion?
Yeah. Our blue teams, again, are more proactive look at the capabilities in place. So do you have the foundational elements to your program to defend against an attack, respond and recover from an attack, and hopefully prevent attacks up front? The red teams, rather than focusing on system compromise, focus on risk evaluation, which allows us to optimize the process a little bit instead of spending time breaking into a system and then using that as proof to an agency that they have a problem. The idea is to identify threats and vulnerabilities actively working against their agency. So what are the threat vectors they need to worry about? What are the active actionable vulnerabilities on their network? And marry that together in an agency-specific point of view and perspective so they can address those risks first and foremost. So as we identify a system that appears to have vulnerabilities, rather than attack and exploit the system, we simply work with the agency to dive deeper on that system so we can bring more tools, more expertise to bear on the system without, you know, wasting hours or days compromising it. We can kind of take a shortcut. Here's the problem. We could exploit it. Trust us. Let's pivot onto the system, dig deeper, and see what else we can find so that you can fix this problem before it gets exploited.
Let me back up for a sec. And are these blue teams are set up very similar to the red teams, where it's a federal agency lead and then contractors?
Yes, very similarly. The red teams can be a variable amount of contractor supporting based on the skill sets needed. The blue teams are pretty set. They're four-man teams. There's always a federal lead, and then there are 1 to 3 additional contractors. Sometimes we're able to send multiple feds on the team, so we don't need as many contractors. But the idea is for the blue teams to field a four-man team. While they're on-site, they can multitask. They can split into two-man teams. They can accomplish more at the same time, as long as nobody's ever making a solo evaluation of an agency. So there's always two sets of eyes, a check and balance. I saw this. I think they're passing or not passing. What do you think? As long as the assessors agree, then we can properly score them.
These visits are usually a couple weeks, a couple days.
We try to keep the footprint minimal. The red team engagements are about a week of external off-site activity, about a week of on-site activity with an agency. The blue teams are typically 3 to 5 days on-site with an agency. There's a couple days of lead-up meetings, pre-assessment validation meeting to make sure that the agency prepared for us to come on site and do the validation, maybe some pre-assessment questionnaires that the agencies do as lead-up homework to the assessment itself. But when we're on site with an agency, it's typically 3 to 5 days, usually closer to 5 business days. And that's, over the last 4 years, we've been able to refine that. That's just about the agency's threshold for what they can reasonably accommodate without starting to dig into their operations times, because they're really busy. They do have IGs. They do have their own auditors doing more traditional and more in-depth POEM-related stuff where, you know, there are going to be findings that they're going to take up their attention. We try to minimize our impact to them.
Are they comfortable letting you guys into their network? Or if you ask them or they ask you, how comfortable is that relationship? Are there some policies, some regulations, some just overall privacy issues that you guys have to deal with? Or is each case a little different?
Each case is a little different. And for the privacy issues, we have to be very careful not to collect PII while we're engaged with an agency. So when we do things like spear phishing testing, we don't actually perform any exploitation. The spear phishing that we would simply track that a user had read and clicked on a link in the email, but there's no malicious content associated with that email or no collection of the employee's PII. And when we're doing other things on their network, we have to be very careful not to collect data that's flowing over the network that might contain PII. So we keep it very focused on system level vulnerabilities and weaknesses and a little bit of the user testing and evaluation through some of the spear phishing attacks, perhaps social engineering. But as far as the trust relationship, it's working really good. By keeping the risk evaluation optional and at their discretion to engage with us, and hopefully they do choose to engage with us because we really get maximum benefit when we can get a cross-sampling of data from across the government that we can anonymize and do, you know, national level trending to identify what are the emerging threats affecting all agencies, what are the common vulnerabilities, so we can help prioritize and shift focus, resource focus, to address the definable and the quantifiable problems across .gov. We get a big win. And the agencies know this going in. We're very clear with them that the data we collect, we're their partner, we're there to provide them the information, and it's theirs to redistribute back out. So if their IG asks us for the data, we say, you know, we're not the data steward or custodian. That's actually the agency CIO or CISO, whoever we signed off on the rules of engagement with, and we point them to that individual so that they can coordinate with the agency. The only thing we ask the agencies, again, is to take their data, anonymize it, and use it to do trending and analysis at a federal wide scale, and it works out really good because they're confident that they're not going to get figuratively thrown under the bus, that their dirty laundry is not going to be aired publicly before they've had a chance to address it. And given the proactive nature of this, I think that's probably for the best, because we're trying to identify these issues before they're public knowledge so that they can be closed prior to exploitation. And that's kind of how we're operating currently, and I don't see us changing that strategy. I think it builds that trust relationship. It gets us what we need. It gets the agencies what they need.
And for CIOs who are interested, maybe if they haven't gone through a red team or a blue team yet, is it easy enough just to contact you guys? Is there a specific formal process they have to go through?
It's really straightforward. They can send us an email to fns.cap_info@hq.dhs.gov. So fns.cap_info@hq.dhs.gov. That goes to myself, Rob, and a couple others. So there's no single point of failure. We'll field their email. We'll send them back the rules of engagement document. And once they've reviewed that, selected the services they want, had their Office of General Counsel review it and coordinate with our office if they have any issues with the stock engagement agreement. Once it's signed, we can engage.
All right, very good. We'll link to that on federalnewsradio.com to make it easier. That's all the time we have today. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. This was a special edition of Ask the CIO. We've been talking about how the Homeland Security Department's red team and blue teams are improving agency cybersecurity. My special guests today were Don Banak, the program manager for DHS's Cybersecurity Assurance Program, and Rob Karras, the program manager of the Risk Evaluation Program at DHS.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. WFED, your source for federal news now.